So how's it going?
Going pretty well.
Pretty much nothing happening this week, huh?
I've had a full work roller coaster this week, but yeah, and then the country. Last night was the worst. I was disappointed in my coping.
Yeah. It's been interesting.
On Tuesday, I was like, oh shit. When we had the presidential election, I was like pulling these 18-hour days just glued to the news because I could not look away. And then when they started doing the Georgia runoff election, I was like, shit, is this going to be how I'm going to be all day today? Because like, this is not as important, but also feels like it's important. And then the shit went down and I was like, God damn it. Are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah. Since we work at home, like Julie and I just have like this unspoken rule. We don't turn the TV on. Where we sit, we could 100% turn the TV on and just have it on through the day. But like, that's just not what we do.
That doesn't help anybody.
No. Yesterday, the TV got turned on.
Yeah, I bet.
I held off for a while, but I finally was like, no, I got to turn it on. I got to watch what's going on. I got to follow this. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It had already gone way downhill by the time I turned the TV on. It was crazy. And then I get this weird Facebook message from somebody that I don't even know who this person is. And I get this really strange Facebook message, and I posted about it. And like, they're calling me out for being associated with something to do with Parasite. I'm like, what does this even mean? Like, so the actual message is, seems appropriate you'd be associated with a production called Parasite. How appropriate. So aside from being redundant.
Maybe he was praising you. It did win Best Picture.
Well, that's what I tried to respond. And I was like, thank you, because, you know, being the first foreign film to win Best Picture, that's a big deal. I would be happy to be associated with that. Turns out they had already blocked me. Then
that's a pretty masterful move to just like send somebody a thing and then block them.
Yeah, send it, block me, and I'm like, I don't even know who this person is. So then I was trying to think, how did I piss this person off? Because I say a lot of stuff on Facebook that like I probably piss somebody off like every day or two. That just happens. And then so I was like, well, is it the O'Fallon Illinois group? Because I said some stuff the other day there that probably pissed some people off. Turns out that wasn't it at all. It was actually yesterday. I commented on a former coworker's post. He was posting about the Gravy Seals and you know, the Vanilla ISIS, Al Qaeda.
Cosplatriots is my new favorite.
The Cosplatriots is a really good one.
That's very good.
That's a really good one. So he contacted, like, the former coworker today contacted me, and was, because I posted about this saying, I don't know who this is, and I'm not sure who I'm pissed off. Like, I legitimately just don't know. Like, I could find the person, and I'm good enough at the internet. Like, this morning I could have called him at home. I could have called the guy at home. It's like, hey, how did you find me? Like, I found you. I could tell you how I found you, but how did you find me? I didn't. I mean, it's just all publicly available stuff on the internet. This is not hard once you find out a person's name.
Better Tony prevailed.
Yeah, I didn't. Well, I don't know about the bigger, but definitely the better Tony. Oh, I don't know if there's a bigger one. If there is, poor guy. So I just decided, you know, throw it out there and see if somebody knew. Turns out it was someone who knows this former coworker. And it's actually like a complicated string that gets back to this guy. And he explained to me how it went, but he's like, yeah, that's this guy. And so I went back to the original post, which is a friends only post. So like, I, you guys couldn't even see it. Like if I told you where to look, I must have commented on something this Philip person. Like I'm not going to say his full name here, but I mean, it's on the post that I made today. So he must have commented on the Gravy Seals post. And I must have commented on his thing because it looks like there's like 20 comments out there, but I can only see like 5 of them.
Okay.
And I know there was a good string of them, of comments like in line that I posted. Honestly, I don't even remember what I said. But apparently it was enough to piss this guy off, enough to come track me down by way of the podcast.
Wow.
Which is just hilarious to me.
I've been arguing with people all day. It's just outrageous. This dude posted some dumb shit about like the Cosplaytriots being BLM and also Antifa, and I'm like, well, Antifa's not a thing. That's not a thing. So like this dude is like clearly older than I am, and he's like, well, you know, when you're older, maybe you'll understand. I'm like, I'm almost fucking 40. Like, what is this obsession that people with that age have? It's like, You're telling me Antifa's an organization, bro. Whatever the difference in years between however old you are and however old I am didn't make you any wiser.
No.
Didn't make you any more empathetic. Then he started pulling this dumb shit like, well, you know, you don't have to respond. And I'm like, no, we're not playing this game, brother. All you have to do is not reply. And then it dropped. Ah.
Yep.
Ugh. I fucking love this shit. I love arguing on the internet. I can't stop, won't stop.
I can't stop, won't stop either. I actually find it, I know it upsets a lot of people, the arguing and the negativity on the internet. For me, it gets it out of my system. Like,
Yeah, it's like a lot easier for me to parse how I feel about something when I have to like type it out in an argument form with someone. Because like normally I'm just going to argue with myself to refine the point. It's just a lot easier when I only have to do half the conversation.
Yep. Yep.
Also, work affords me a lot of time to fuck around on the internet. So,
you know,
got to have those little micro breaks.
Micro breaks and microaggressions. Get them out.
gotta get them out. Better fight randos on the internet than fight my coworkers.
Yeah, or, you know, the people that I'm, you know, in my workspace with right now, which is my family.
You and Julie work at the kitchen table?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and for a while, Holden was working there, too.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's
Well, we extend the table, which gives more space to spread out.
That extra foot.
It helps.
Yeah.
Especially because I pull out my extra monitor. So.
How do you feel that helps with your accountability, like the keeping you on task?
I don't know that it helps any more or less. I mean, in some cases, we distract each other. In some cases, it can get frustrating if, like, I'm trying to focus, and then it's like, hey, look at this thing, or somebody comes through. Like, because also where I sit, it's the same place I normally sit when we're sitting at the table podcasting, so the kitchen is behind me. So if there's somebody in the kitchen making lunch or something, normally that's not too bad, but Holden tends to make lunch and then lean on the counter, but facing my back, which is just,
yeah, just like 2 feet behind the back of your head. Just,
yeah. Breathing there, and yeah.
There, just existing.
Don't do that. Stop doing that. Go away. I think for the most part, it's fine. And like, there have been times where I've had to talk through things, like talk through an issue, and just having another person there to sound it out. Even if Julie doesn't understand the technicality, the technical aspects of it, if I can talk through it, cutting through the technical bullshit, sometimes that actually helps when I have to translate it to somebody who doesn't understand.
Yeah. The rubber duck.
Yep. So that helps. And then same token, she'll do the same with me. Like, I don't understand the intricacies of the auditing work that she does, but you know, sometimes just having a person to talk through. Yeah. Cause sometimes it's like, wait a minute, what you're saying doesn't make any sense. I don't understand everything, but like, what's this piece here? And like, oh, well, that was clearly the problem. you know?
Yeah, I know when I'm doing work that's not direct customer service work, I kind of wish I were working around other people. Not always directly interacting with them, but like at a table or,
yeah, I mean, you know, like, hey, I'm getting up to go get a glass of water. Do you want one also? Yeah. You could make those same three steps, but.
Well, and just for the accountability, like once I get started working, then I'm working. But it's easy to fuck off, and I'm less likely to fuck off if. If somebody around, if I need to pretend to work, if I have to do all the work of pretending to work, then I'll actually work.
Yeah. I mean, you might as well at that point.
I mean, because then later you can fuck around.
Yeah. Right. Hey, I finished my work. I get to do this. Yeah. You have to keep going.
Yeah, then I can high road people.
Yeah, unfortunately for me, it's normally, I've still got like a couple hours worth of work to do.
Okay.
But also, I'm the one who said I'd make dinner tonight. Shit. Guess I'm going to be working until 8 tonight. I'll stop and make dinner and then come back to it.
Tony, I have good news.
Yeah?
Guess what came today?
Really?
Your Christmas present. I ordered it at the beginning of December.
Wow.
So I'll drive that out either tomorrow or Saturday.
I'll be here.
Where else are you going to go?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what I got.
Did you guys get anything good for Christmas? Anything worth crowing about? Since we haven't recorded since then. Like the last time we recorded was when you were here right before Christmas, Anna.
Oh, that's right.
We
didn't record last week.
Okay. Well, thank you for the book.
Oh, good.
That's been so fun. Yeah. I haven't gotten, like, I just looked at it a little bit, but I haven't, like, gotten that. I'm sorry.
No, that's fine. I wanted to make sure you got it.
Yeah. David didn't steal it.
For me, it was like, I wanted to, like, it was the one thing that I wasn't sure was going to get here.
Okay.
Because I ordered it from the UK. Like, so, for anybody listening, And not the last time you were on, but the time before that, we were talking about books. We were talking about my bookshelf over here. And I was telling you about my favorite book, The Stone and the Flute.
Yeah.
And I found on the internet a German language copy of The Stone and the Flute.
Originally
in German. And it was one of those, you know, I'm buying a used copy from the UK. I don't know. Yeah. At Christmas. I don't know if it's going to get here. I don't know what condition it's going to be in. It was really risky. That book came in. And I was like, I don't want to give this away. It's beautiful. Like for being a used book, it's gorgeous. And I don't know if you noticed, but there's actually an inscription in it.
That was from the original owner.
Yeah. Like I guess the original owner, it looks like it was given probably right around the time that the book was actually published originally. Go grab it.
It's next right here.
Yeah, that part actually really surprised me that it was inscribed and I think it's like the inscription if my rudimentary translation is like with love. Oh man.
She had to go fishing out of the trash, Tony.
Yep. Go get it. Dust it off. Knock the SpaghettiOs off of it.
I was telling Tony to go fish it out of the trash.
I'm not doing this right.
You got it.
It was gorgeous. And it has these I just love the like inner leaves. Well, I'm like
here. Yeah. Let's do this. Let me make.
So looking from the inscription. Oh yeah, alles Liebe in Liebe Weihnachten von Fanatisch Reini. Yeah, so that was 1985.
Yeah, and I believe it was published in 85, somewhere around there. Yeah. So it was a fairly new book when that was given as a gift.
He's a gorgeous writer. I hadn't seen any of his stuff in English. Just like when you mentioned it, I was looking him up and he looked amazing. But then when I was reading, I was like, wow. I had also like between when we talked, I guess the day after we talked, I was looking up some of his like papers because he did a lot on just like fairy lore and medieval stuff.
Yes.
And he's a really good writer. I don't know why they don't have the publishing. There's date, but yeah, no, 83-85 is when it was first published. 83-84-85.
Yeah.
From what I remember when I was reading about it.
Was writing there. It was a fairly new book. Because I believe it was published in the U.S. in like 88.
Okay.
87, 88, 89, somewhere in there. And that's about when I picked up on it. I have the first copy of it that I got is when it first went to soft cover. And it's a chunk of a book, even as soft cover. And then I went back later and found a first edition hardcover on eBay and picked that up.
That must have been an 80s thing then, these German fantasy writers, because you have Michael Ende with Neverending Story, and then you have, oh God, who was the guy who did The Princess Bride? I think that author was German too.
Oh, okay. I wasn't aware of that.
Maybe not. But
they actually translated a couple of his books into English. The Broken Goddess is another one that I remember. And that one's interesting. And it's almost autobiographical in that it's the main character is a person very much like the person he was doing the job he did, who was at a conference, like a literary conference, and he gets sucked into this fantasy world.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I think he did pretty well. He sold pretty well in the U.S.
Yeah.
Oh, that wasn't Princess Bride, wasn't. I'm thinking of Cornelia Funke with the Inkheart and the other, but that's even still more recent.
Yeah. I got a couple of fun things. I got this game Clask. It's a Dutch Norwegian board game. It's like a pub game. It's kind of a cross between like air hockey and foosball that is played with magnets and like it's a fun game.
Looking at it now, it was so much fun.
It is a lot of fun. I got that, and I got the first two volumes of the Ultimate Sandman. So it's the graphic novel, and they're big, thick, leather bound. There's only three volumes. The first two volumes were originally the only two that were published, and they are like the full 75 issue run of the Sandman. And then they did one more volume later that published The Wake and like some of the ancillary stuff that came a little later. And it's another volume just as thick. I haven't gotten that one yet, hopefully soon. but I got the first two volumes for Christmas also.
Let's see. Tony got me a Dick glass.
I did.
I did not take a picture of me drinking out of the Dick glass because I put it in the styrofoam container to protect it from like my family, and then did not take it out of that because my family is a war zone.
That's fair.
Lena got me this pornament. It's a BDSM bear. It is very good.
That's fantastic.
That's about it. Some taco good slippers. Stuff.
Nice. All right, you want to jump into this?
I do want to jump into this.
All right. Hey, this is Tony.
This is Anna.
Oh, come on. I even rearranged the screen.
I know. God damn it.
One more time.
That was my fuck up.
Hey, this is Tony.
This is Anna.
And this is David.
And we are the Backseat Producers.
I always go last. I don't even know why I fucked that up. I
don't know why you messed that up. All right. So this week we're going to talk about Io. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Which is all right. So I have one minor quibble to get out of the way before I give my review. the title of this movie should be capital I, lowercase o.
Yeah.
Not capital I, capital O.
Yeah.
Oh, so, that was more than just the lettering on the.
Yep. That's okay. Just. No, I know. Okay, that's I put it that way. I didn't like doing that.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
It's also interesting that like Netflix has. Oh, I'm going to lose my place in Bridgerton when I go to look at this, but the name on the Netflix card isn't IO. It's like Destination IO or some shit like that.
Huh.
Yeah. Let me find exactly what this thing is. God, I can't believe I lost my place in Bridgerton, a show I dislike, but will continue watching.
So you were, I cannot believe you were watching Bridgerton.
Julie like mainlined that. She like tapped a vein for that. She watched that in like a day and a half.
I'm planning. That's how what I'm doing this weekend.
Well, she's read the books, so.
Okay.
So Julie's a fan of the books that it's based on. Okay. So she was like, when we're planning out our Christmas day, first couple of, you know, for the, that couple of days of Christmas break when all the movies were hitting Netflix and Disney Plus and all that. She's like, I said, all right, we're watching Soul and Wonder Woman. She's like, and Bridgerton. I was like, what even is that? Well, I'm watching it. I was like, okay. So she's like, you're not going to like it.
I was led to believe there was going to be some hot sex in it. And thus far, there has been a full episode about jizz.
Okay.
But it's a period piece.
Yeah, which
so
is why
it's Victorian England jizz.
Is that Victorian England? It is Victorian England.
Okay, so the only.
I mean, you can ask Julie. She's watched the whole thing. She could tell you if there's. You know what? I could probably call her and.
Oh, that's all right.
Let's get her in.
This is episode 5. I'm already. eight episodes. Yeah. Now I have. Maybe this is episode 6. Anyway, I got to finish it now. I'm like 3/4 of the way through. The only interesting thing about it is the way that they deal with the whole race situation. So they've just made the queen black, and then that marriage fixed racism in England. So it's just, they just.
Oh, so it's like an alternative history, but it sounds like they don't do it in a very complex way.
Yeah, they just like, hey, the queen's black, so it's not an issue.
So where did the black people come from?
I have no idea.
I mean, because it would be interesting if they did an alternative history in the sense that there were no transatlantic slave trade. And because there were black like merchants and things like that, even in medieval London. And it would have been interesting if there were more flow that way and it was just immigration, which would be kind of a fascinating sort of alternative history to do. And then you wouldn't have the like same issues, but.
It is a show about debutantes trying to get married.
Interesting.
So there is zero.
Sounds like my
zero interesting. Zero interesting historical things around that.
It is. It is, as Julia refers to it, a trashy romance novel. That's okay. That's her fandom. She loves those things. She like. She would go through 3 or 4 of those a week.
There was a lot of smoldering.
Yeah. Yeah, she loves the Hallmark Christmas movies, all that, you know. I think we still have 3 or 4 of them on our DVR, and I think she pretty much just records the new ones, but I think they came out with like 60 new ones this year or something ridiculous like that.
Did you watch the KFC one?
You know what? I did not watch it. I meant to, but I did not.
I completely forgot about it.
Yeah. I forgot. I did. I forgot all about that one. I did watch Wonder Woman and I did watch Soul.
I don't feel like we have to talk about Wonder Woman.
Maybe we just talk about it as an afterthought in a different episode, because that's kind of how I felt about it.
It was really bad.
It was not great. Soul, on the other hand, I really enjoyed the hell out of. Mm. I really enjoyed Soul.
Was that feature length or was it a short?
Okay. No, it's feature length. Okay. It's long for an animated movie. It's like 1 hour 40.
That is longish, yeah.
Yeah, it's good. It's really good. Like to the point where I was watching it, I was like, I had forgotten that Jamie Foxx was one of the lead voices, because he is so toned down. Like he is not as Jamie Foxx as he normally is when he's in other roles, because he's just such a big personality. His voice acting was very understated. And which made it fantastic. Like, it was really, really well done. Like, he didn't make it a Jamie Foxx-ism, you know? Kind of like when you watch, if you watch Shrek, yeah, Donkey is Eddie Murphy. Like, they are the same character. There was nothing, like, there really wasn't any of that over the top. Like, he was the character that he was playing and did a fantastic job at it. So yeah, that was my big quibble about Io. The biggest one, just from the jump. It messed me up because I thought this was like a computer movie. Like, I thought it was input output. I thought it was IO.
Yeah. No, I knew it.
When I searched for it the first time, I searched for I/O. Like, no, apparently it's not.
The card here says IO last on Earth.
There you go.
So I don't know what the deal is with that, but.
So I asked Julie about it, and I said, we're talking about Bridgerton. Adam is watching it. He heard there was sex in it. Her response was, LOL, there is, but probably not exactly what he would want.
There's a lot of jizz management.
Well, from the little bit I overheard, I kind of see why, because there was a lot of royal line trying to sort that situation out.
It's very weirdly constructed.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's supposed to be funny or not, or I don't know. This is like not my genre, not my whatever, but I was led to believe it was going to be
not a lot my porn.
Yeah. Listen, I was led to believe that it was going to be similar to Spartacus, right? Where it's like just mostly naked people wandering around fucking. Oh. And it is way not that.
See, I had not heard that because I was going to mostly watch it for the costumes. Like specifically for the costuming.
Well, you'll enjoy that.
And so.
You will enjoy.
I'm assuming that everybody's fairly clothed.
You'll enjoy the queen's hair, which gets larger and more garish every time she's on the screen.
All right. David, what did you think of Io?
I liked this movie when I watched it originally, and I rewatched it yesterday in anticipation of talking about it yesterday, and really liked it. I liked it more, actually, the second time.
Anna, what'd you think?
I deeply disliked it.
Whoa!
These issues.
Mm. Oh, this should be a fun conversation, then.
Tiebreaker, Tony.
I liked it until it didn't really end. Mm-hmm. And like, it felt like somebody found a short story somewhere and just expanded on it. Like that's what it felt like to me.
And barely expanded on it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like, they tried to do an Arrival, but it wasn't as good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was like, so Flowers for Algernon was a short story when I read it originally. Mm-hmm. And then the dude went back and wrote it as a full length book. And then I read the full length book and I was like,
Need to be a full-length book.
I feel like it's different in a full-length book, but like the magic of the short story was like, short stories have a certain magic to them, right? Mm-hmm. Like, just because the focused and the focused context of it doesn't like gives you a certain mystery to the world that like anytime you start filling the lines in removes. So like it anyway.
Yeah, I remember a long time ago, we talked about the movie Nine, the animated, like the stop-motion animated movie. It was based on a short film, and the short film is like, I want to say it's like 13, 14 minutes long, something like that. And it's really good. It's really creative and creepy and interesting. And they took that and made a movie based on what they did there. And the movie just like, it was creative and creepy, but they just drew it out. Like it wasn't worth the hour and a half or whatever. Yeah. Whatever length of time it was, they added to it. It wasn't worth it. The 15 minutes they spent on it in the short film was perfect. Like it was fantastic. And you can see why somebody took that and thought, this is amazing. I want more of this, and we're going to put it on film and we're going to sell tickets to it. It did not succeed.
This is America, Tony. As soon as we find something even remotely popular,
We have to milk it for everything it's worth.
We have to exploit it until it is barren.
Yep. Well, they
did. Which is why we have like 18 new Star Wars franchises starting up.
Yeah.
For reasons. Because this is what's going to happen.
Because The Mandalorian did well, so.
Yeah. Because now that Disney owns like 90% of content creation in this country, we're slowly going to merge to this future where we only have Star Wars and Marvel movies. Like, that's all we're going to get anymore. And then the pinnacle is going to be a crossover.
It's well, I'm waiting.
Mandalorian, Captain America crossover.
You know what? I'll go see it.
I know. I know.
I'll see it.
I haven't subscribed to Disney Plus, which I really intensely did not want to do just so I could stream the Mandalorian.
Have you watched The Gallery yet?
I don't even know what that is.
That's the making of Mandalorian stuff.
Nah, I don't like that. I'm not really into that stuff. It's got to be real interesting for me to get into it.
Yeah, you probably won't appreciate that as much. Okay. Though, over the break, we were looking for something for all of us to watch together. Okay. And we were just like flipping around Netflix looking for something for the whole family to enjoy. And Holden was like, "You guys watched The Tiger King, didn't you?" "Yeah, we did. You want to watch it?" So we watched the whole thing. Julie and I rewatched it. The kids watched it with us. That is such like we just finished the first episode, and each episode they do the thing with documentaries where it kind of meanders along and tells a semi-interesting story, and then big hook twist, and that ends an episode. And so the first one happens, and Holmes like, "What?" I was like, "Oh, buddy, you don't even know." I said, "It just every time you think it can't get crazier, it will just keep getting crazier." And he's like, "All right, yeah." But like the sixth episode, he was losing his mind with how crazy it was getting, because it is. It's just
bug nuts.
It is bug nuts crazy.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it. It seemed like there was going to be animal abuse in there, and I was out for that.
There is some. There's not much that they show. It's more. There's a lot more people abuse than animal abuse.
It's like, what was that other? What was the other big crime documentary they did that was big?
Don't Fuck with Cats,
Not Don't Fuck with Cats. The one that was a couple years ago. It was, goddamn, about the mismanagement of the trial, and then the guy, Netflix.
Are you talking about the Aaron Hernandez?
No, I'm talking, god damn.
And it had animals in it?
The first episode was about the guy, and then like the first 10 minutes are like, "Ah, yeah, he was throwing cats over fires," and I was like, "Fuck this, I'm out." Because like the guy was not guilty, and then he got sent to jail, and then they appealed, and there was like this whole thing with the police. And they were like the chain of evidence about it. And it's like the whole thing was, well, he probably wasn't guilty and the police bullied him into it. God damn, it was like the first one they did. The first crime documentary Netflix did.
I'm not recalling it.
God damn it.
I'm actually not that big into crime documentaries. I tend to prefer to like listen to it while I do other stuff. Otherwise, it gets me too worked up. Let me see.
Yeah, if there was a streaming platform that was just true crime documentaries, I think I'd just get Julie a lifetime subscription to that.
Yeah.
Oh, about ID?
Making a Murder?
Murder. Okay. You know, the first one they did.
Yep.
That,
I remember that.
Yeah. Like 5 minutes in, they're like, "Oh yeah, this guy was throwing cats across, you know, campfires, and they would catch fire. Fuck this, I'm out. Put this guy to death."
I'm trying to make him work.
Kind of like Don't Fuck with Cats.
Was that it? Yeah, but Luca Magnotta was such utter trash.
Oh yeah.
Making a Murder, was that a documentary, or was that like a?
It was like an investigative thing.
Okay, it was. Okay. So, I always get that with Mindhunter. That's where I get thrown.
Good Housekeeping says it's on the 25 best true crime documentaries.
Yeah, that's right, because it's that Stephen Avery in Wisconsin.
You know, none of them are American Vandal, though.
None of them are American Vandal. It's all about the ball hair.
American Vandal was so good.
American Vandal is so goddamn good.
All right. All right. Let's talk about this movie. So we've got, I can't remember her name. Sam? Was it Sam?
Yes. Sam? Sam Walden, which is important because this whole movie is obsessed with the 19th century.
Mm-hmm.
Fair. Jill Garvey from The Leftovers.
Yes.
Who was great also.
Yeah. I thought the acting in the movie was really good.
Yeah, me too. Here's what I liked about the movie. Let's just get into it, Anna, so I can
just sit back and let you two duke it out.
Where you're wrong.
Yeah, so you can see the error of your ways. So I loved the tone of this movie.
Huh.
Yeah, and this is where this is going to get weird because
you don't care about that. Okay.
No. Mm-mm. I typically do not care about that. I typically hate movies that are slow plotting and meandering.
Oh, boy, and this was.
Yeah, this was slow plotting and meandering, right? Like, pretty fucking aimless. Mm-hmm. I hate, like, when it's just a character, there's, like, almost no dialogue, and they're just mm-hmm. sitting around doing jack shit. Mm-hmm. I hate that. It's such inefficient storytelling. And I don't know what I loved about that in this movie. I have no idea what I loved about it in this movie.
There also wasn't a ton of dialogue.
There is not a ton of dialogue.
No, a lot of it's like letters. I mean, they make it like a 19th century novel.
Mm-hmm.
Especially like for the first half, two-thirds of it.
Yeah.
An epistolatory novel. Yeah. Yeah, I feel like I should have liked it. And the meandering part I could have enjoyed, but it was not beautiful. Like, there was so much they could have done with just the richness of the space and kind of how she was having to fiddle with honey and plants. Like, there was a lot you could have done camera-wise, shot-wise, to have made this, like, a gorgeous movie that would have not cost money. Because I know, like, budget was not enormous. A lot could have been done. They didn't do it. The themes were super, well, okay, yeah, the themes were super thin. I felt like they were trying to touch on some stuff, but didn't go there, really.
Listen, a lot of those themes were expressed solely through her looking at something longingly. That was the recurrent theme of the movie.
If done right, I think can be convincing. Like, their whole connection was just like, what the fuck? Like, what she, you know, like, very conveniently, she and Elon, like, break up, you know, or he goes too far for her to feel like they can have a long-distance relationship anymore. And then...
Which is one, ridiculous, because, like, the difference between here and Io, he will not traverse that equivalent distance for, like, years.
Yeah, yeah. And then, so she cries, which I guess means they broke up in her heart, at least. And then,
at least in her pants, they broke up.
Yeah, in her heart. Yeah, in her pants. By her heart, I mean her pants. Yeah.
When the sky delivers you, Anthony Mackie. And then, you know what you need to do.
And yeah, they have a couple of looks. We have to do this. You know, which has its lovely double meaning. So, of course, they're going to replenish the Earth.
You thank the helium gods and you bang Anthony Mackie. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't make the rules. I just follow them. Sorry.
Yeah.
And until we storm the Capitol building and rewrite the Constitution, fucking Anthony Mackie is just what we have to do. I'm sorry. Jesus didn't deliver these tablets off of the Dead Sea for us not to do it this way.
And yeah, I just feel like there could have been enough done with the mood and the space and music to have brought us there. And acting, honestly, I wasn't thrilled with acting, but maybe it's because there wasn't enough other stuff supporting it.
But, I'm not thrilled with your acting.
I was like blaming the acting, but maybe it wasn't just that. Maybe it was the other stuff too, because I felt like we could have been brought there. There was no reason that we couldn't have been brought there, but we weren't brought there. And it was like, y'all are just fucking because you're the only two people left.
Yeah.
Very
human to me. Yeah, that's right.
But you need to also own that. Don't act like it's love.
Right.
Yeah, no, that part was weird.
Yeah.
I like elements of this movie. All right. Okay. I like the bleakness of the movie. Like, mm-hmm. because she's got this whole situation brewing where, like, she's got just enough to limp along as a human individual, but, like, any shock to that system completely and utterly breaks the system. Like, the whole thing just breaks mm-hmm. down, right? Like, just utterly just breaks down. Like, the bees dying was like, that was, she wasn't going to last another 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Just because she was sitting on the routine that her dad left her. I did like that we didn't do the situation where she's like, that's my dad. And he's like, what? Yeah, no shit.
Yeah, yeah.
Thankfully,
yeah,
we didn't do that.
I knew that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We all fucking knew that. And then the death reveal wasn't like that exciting.
No, that was up. You know, I go back and forth with that, but I will say that's one thing that I'll give this movie. And, you know, and of course, with the pandemic and everything, like, that isolation theme is all the more salient, but they touched on it, and I wish they had pressed on it, and part of what I, like, one positive aspect of the way they handled that was she's seeing her father, but that doesn't make her crazy. And just the idea of, like, the isolation can breed different kinds of fellowships. And ones that don't necessarily make sense in company, and that may look crazy, but that don't necessarily make you crazy. And that, like, if you're an adaptable, reasonable person, you'll give up those fellowships once you get company. So, you know, Dad didn't stay once Micah showed up. And so I liked that and thought that that could have been really something to, like, push on a little bit.
They do it a bunch. Like, you can tell early on, like, she's, aside from the science-y aspect of it, like, she's really goddamn excited about those mosquito eggs.
Oh, yeah.
Like, she's really, really into the mosquito eggs. And then the bees, she's a little too invested in that colony.
But, in that situation, that's everything, because it's a sign of adaptation. And yeah. The possibility of living on Earth. I mean, why wouldn't you be ecstatic about that?
She seemed a little too desperate to anthropomorphize those bees and friends.
Yeah, I mean, maybe. It seemed normal. Like, it didn't feel like that was part of that, but maybe if I saw that again. But yeah, I mean, I felt like it could have been given a little more. And not necessarily, like, it just was really, like, not very imaginatively shot. Because I don't think it's necessarily about dialogue or words that needed to make that happen. It was just in the way, like, sequences were shot that you could have had a stronger sense of what she was gaining and what she was losing through her isolation.
I said I liked the movie until the end. And the end, for me, shat on everything that was before it.
Yeah.
Because I like slow plotting movies.
Mm-hmm.
I like movies that don't seem to tell you what's going on or lead you anywhere until the end brings it all together and shows you that everything you've been seeing, the way you've been seeing it, the way they've been telling you the story matters. Mm-hmm. Come to find out, all this stuff that I was looking for hooks in and getting and enjoying the journey of it was like, there's nothing here. Like, that's where I didn't like the movie. Like, it retroactively ruined the rest of it for me, because all these things I thought may have mattered, none of it mattered. None of it. The minimalism, the way they introduced Anthony Mackie's character, the whole reason for her being excited about the adaptation, the whole fact that she has this boyfriend who lives, you know, half the solar system away, like, none of it mattered, because, like, you, like, in a much better movie, like, all the reasons for the whys would have made sense. Like, all the motivations would have made a lot more sense. These motivations were garbage. And none of it made sense. Like, it, they all seemed to be interesting motivations until the end when you realize the motivations were garbage and Elon was going to dump her anyway. And she, then you start thinking about, well, if she had all these opportunities to leave the planet for her boyfriend, why is she now fucking upset that he's just going to go off anyway? Because you didn't go when you could have, when your dad's already dead. Like, there's the motivations just all felt really false. Even like this idea of retroactively that, oh, well, she's there to evolve the planet and to repopulate the planet. It's nonsense because the only two people there are her and her son, if that's real.
Okay. So I don't think
that's real, which I don't think it is. I think she's dead. I think that's a fantasy because it doesn't make sense that she's still around with her son.
I think it's so.
Because what are you doing? You're setting up a situation where you're going to die and your son's going to be left, or you're going to repopulate the planet with your own kid? Like,
Well, I mean, I think the idea is that once she proves that the adaptation is possible, like, humanity can come back. We don't have to.
That would have been a nice thought, but that was not close to the point of anything they've told us, though.
Oh, I thought I thought they were pretty consistent with that throughout. Like, she was trying to prove, like, she finds the mosquitoes, like, she's looking for the signs of adaptation from the mosquitoes. Then it's the bees. The queen survives. Then they give us the pig situation, and then they never talk about her doing the injections on herself. But
why in the name of all is holy do we give a fuck about Elon? Why is that a story? Why is that part of the story?
That Elon was just a device.
Yeah.
So that he was like purely a narrative device. And in fact, I think it was just a stupid one. Honestly, it would have been a lot better because when she goes and is like, well, you know, this Elon that I've been writing, we're not just friends. Well, you know what? Like, they could have just had her writing a brother or writing a friend. Like, it wouldn't have made a difference because she didn't seem like she was yearning to get there in any kind of serious way.
Not at all.
I mean, from her perspective, she was born after the Earth collapsed, right? So, like, she's lived primarily with her dad her entire life. So what the fuck does she know about anything, right? So I always looked at Elon as this fantastic surrender, right? Like, it's a nice fantasy of her living in a society or with people. But also, as soon as she does that, she's given up on everything that she's ever known as a life. And she's not actually going to take that step, right? And I think when they break up and she kind of realizes that, like, she's always had that as a backup plan, it's like, well, I'm choosing to stay here. I've got another option on a place I can go. But, like, I'm doing this important work that my dad left me of trying to save this home that I only ever glimpse through the ruins and the wreckage and the history of this place I've never actually known. Right. And so he represented that, well, you have somewhere to go. Mm-hmm. So she can maintain this like martyr complex of I'm the last human here trying to save our home. Mm-hmm. Right? And I think ultimately, after she goes to the art museum, that's why she doesn't go, that she's not able to give up.
To me, it just doesn't make any sense. It just doesn't track for me. I don't get it. I don't see how someone is so invested in a world, in a society, in the planet, in a civilization that she never knew, that abandoned the Earth, that she could leave to go to what society is now, but she's going to choose to stay. It just doesn't track. I don't get it.
But she doesn't.
It just doesn't fit for me.
It's because of her attachment to her father. And also because, I mean, honestly, like, longing for a civilization you've never known and even fighting for it and dying for it and sacrificing feels like a pretty human thing. In terms of, like, I think about, like, refugees and immigrants and, like, nationalistic fervor.
Storming the capital!
Like, fighting and longing and dying for a civilization that you've never known and may never really have ever existed is like feels really human and common. But and would have been interesting if they had actually dug there. But
it wasn't earned for me.
None of it was earned. But like what didn't work for me was that with some little like homeopathic God knows what little allergy injection she does to herself, she can all of a sudden, like, she can change even over the course of 20 years how she breathes. Like, what the fuck? Like, that's like a major, like, that's not the kind of adaptation we're talking about. And that was what, like, the whole adaptation thing didn't bear itself out. Maybe that was like part of what they were doing with the movie, of why, because I thought that basically it was real. That she had stayed, she breathed, she had a child, and the movie was just stupid, and they were trying to have us breathe, like, believe that she learned to breathe in a different way, and the writers were just idiots, is kind of what I was like. But then if we're to believe it's a fantasy and this kind of weird dying vision that she has, then I feel like actually retroactively, it makes the rest of it make a lot of sense to me. Because what she's doing there isn't sustainable. It's not something that could have lasted. And she's talking about adaptation. And the whole time I'm going, bitch, you're not adapting. You're basically just like scooting back in the history of civilization to the exact same kind of agricultural activities that got us into this shit in the first place. And you're like you're not adapting, you're not changing the way humans are doing anything. And so, you know, and maybe like the writers were a lot more aware of that, and then that's why she died in the end. And
well, really the adaptation that happens, though, has already happened. People left. They've adapted. Exactly.
No, that was the genuine adaptation. And I, like, if that's the case, then maybe I can buy into the movie a little bit better.
Elon adapted.
Yeah.
I want it to hit them so hard. Between the Harry Walden and then Elon, I want it to, like, just beat the shit out of them. And the Chopin and the 19th century, like, white male fan. Oh, I wanted to beat them so hard. I just, like, because it was like they were, like, only pulling on those scraps of humanity. And it was just like, what the fuck are you doing? And maybe that was the point. Like, you know, like the way she wanted to live wasn't sustainable or possible because of, like, what she was drawing from. Like, very specific kinds of mythology. Like, this Leda and the Swan stuff. This, you know, I don't know.
It would. I mean, they could have played with metaphor so much better. Doing things like, you know, Dad has all this classical music, and I'm listening to anything modern. Like, literally anything modern. You know, looking at all this classical artwork. But then there's also comic books. Like, there's adaptation, there's growth, there's change, there's modification. But what she was fetishizing wasn't anything that was adapted. It was like the original masters of things instead of the adaptations of them.
Mm-hmm. Well, and nothing recent to how we live now. Because I was thinking the thing about that kept getting quoted. That was the lines in the museum, like on the museum placket. Mm-hmm. It's a telling of Leda and the Swan. No, it's not Leda. Yeah, partially of that. And then there's like another myth that comes in, but it's a poem by Yeats. So it's a 19th century adaptation of that classical stuff, you know, of that classical material. And it's like, and then the way the library is set up, isn't it all like modern libraries? It's like a library from the 50s. And they're talking about a culture, like an alternative history of a cultural world that never adapted, that has computers but uses cassettes.
It would have been interesting if they would have given a clearer timeline of things, because they could have done something like that where the timeline of the collapse happens in the 60s. For example, and like very little of the technology would have been would have been contradicted by what they shown. I mean, we were using cassette tapes for computers through the 80s.
They couldn't have had the communication back and forth with Elon. Well, I guess the space. Yeah, that's true. They could have had an alternative history, and especially like pulled it, especially if they had pulled it into the 60s or 70s. And then had some kind of like space, like NASA breakthrough, where like our abilities to go into space just like shot off in a way they didn't.
Well, if you learn about a catastrophe, let's say in 1948, that's coming in 15 years.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's completely erase the Cold War. Mm-hmm. Let's say that there was a global coming together, and like in 10 minutes, you and I have told a more interesting story, and there was so much time. Well, there was so much time wasted on her looking at fog.
And honestly, like the background could have easily been put in with just a couple of flashback scenes. Like either flashback scenes or even shots of news footage where you even had like an alternative Yalta meeting, where instead of like there being a break between East and West, they hear about this catastrophe and are like, okay, we've got to figure out how to get out of here together.
Okay. And, let's have a talk about the disaster.
Okay.
The disaster in the movie is that for some whatever reason, the atmosphere is now ammonia rich.
Uh-huh. Okay.
All right. So I don't know if you read the Goofs page on this movie, but it is lengthy.
Really?
At the beginning of the movie,
the trivia page is very short.
Yeah. Sam takes a sample looking to see if bacteria can use ammonia, NH3, as an oxygen O2 source. Ammonia has no oxygen available to be used. Ammonia is lighter than air. You would not find larger concentrations in subways or try to escape it by living on top of a mountain. combustion engines would not work in no oxygen.
I was wondering about that part.
Those are the big things.
Yeah, there's definitely more goofs than there is trivia about the movie.
Yeah.
Then I'm trying to figure out what to make of like all the social evolution stuff they're talking about. Because so you know the tattoo she's got, where it's like it's Novak's equation or something like that, that has to do with like adaptation, but also cooperation. And so I looked up this Novak guy, and he is a scientist at Harvard. What's his person? He's Austrian, Martin Novak. And he's a scientist at Harvard, runs like really fascinating, like runs a research arm that has to do with like altruism and evolution and studying like the role of sociability, not just in humans, but all animals, like in evolution and adaptation, was recently put on administrative leave because of connections with Epstein.
Oh.
Yeah, in May. Because evidently, like, Epstein, he was bringing Epstein to campus, and Epstein was giving his, like, research arm money, and he was helping Epstein rehabilitate his image on campus. When Harvard was sort of looking into their connections with Epstein and cleaning house around that, he had to put on administrative leave, which is interesting tidbit. He also just like as a scientist, the stuff he's written is really fascinating. And it feels like if my sort of bettered view of the movie holds that she really is dying at the end and her and this kid are a vision, then like all the stuff she was saying about like where did that go with cooperation? Of course, maybe that's what was going on. She thought she was doing it on Earth, but no, that's actually what was going on
in space.
In space was this cooperative adaptation.
Well, Elon seems to think that's the way to go. So does Anthony Mackie. I mean, he does show up and he's like, this place is fucked. Let's get out of here.
Yeah, which feels obvious. in his hot air balloon.
Come with me. No, it was a helium balloon. It wasn't even hot air.
Right. I was just thinking he was kind of steampunk.
Is wannabe dirigible? Yeah. Okay. The helium run makes no goddamn sense either. Like, well, it's dark out. We don't want to be driving. What?
Yeah, what are you afraid of?
It's always dark there. Yeah.
This isn't a zombie movie.
Yeah, like, you have a fucking light on the front. Like, what the fuck are we doing?
Yeah.
Let's go spend the fucking night in the pressure sealed dirigible.
Yeah, you're not going to get any arguments from me. Mm-hmm. That didn't make a lot of sense.
No, you got the science bad.
Yeah, everything. I was fine with everything up until they left to go on the mission, and then after that, I just kind of like I stopped understanding why we were doing anything we were doing, and then very quickly stopped caring.
Yeah,
this is for me. This is just another half-assed Netflix movie. Like Netflix, like there's somebody has a good concept or good actors Netflix movies always seem to be about 2/3 of a movie. Mm-hmm. Like it's always missing that extra third.
Yeah.
That extra third. And that extra third is quite often an ending that makes the rest of the movie worthwhile. Or like in Project Power, like it lacked the, it had so many good opportunities for social commentary that they just like went, it seemed like it just went over the filmmakers' heads that they had these opportunities to tell a really compelling science fiction story though in the language of science fiction stories where you take a social ill and you make it more palatable by putting a science fiction spin on it. Mm-hmm. And Project Power failed in that. I think this one failed in a very similar way because it had a lot of opportunities to talk about isolation. It had a lot of opportunities to talk about ecological collapse. It had an opportunity to talk about how people relate after loss. Like,
God, yes, they were ignoring the grief piece. They like,
and they just ignores, like, it ignores all of those big things for some adaptation ideal that they don't even really follow through on very well. Mm-hmm. But like, all those other things would have been easier to tell, would have been more poignant, would have been more impactful. Like you would have had a better movie. Mm-hmm. Focusing on the more human elements instead of this weird ideal that you didn't pull off. Like, so, you know, I've been thinking about this and I'm thinking about a movie like Primer. Mm-hmm. Where it doesn't hit the human elements very well. Like how it affects people, but the science of it, and there's not really, it's not really the science, but the pseudoscientific explanation and how it affects those people is really well explored on no budget. Like that movie is so compelling and makes me want to rewatch it to understand it with about the same number of people in the cast. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a much shorter movie also. This one was overlong for what it was doing. Like,
I mean, if it had been beautiful, I would have.
Yes. Yeah. I could have given it a lot more of a pass.
Yeah.
I'm looking through the Netflix movies to try and find.
It's hard, isn't it?
I Am Mother was a pretty good movie.
Yes. We talked about it. Yes. Yes. I Am Mother was pretty good. Though I remember that one having a few missed opportunities as well. That one was definitely much better than this.
And they always do.
Yeah.
Yeah, that movie was better than this. Hey, did you ever finish I'm Thinking of Ending Things?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Did you not?
No.
I drove,
forgot about it.
Wow. You forgot about it?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Was it worth finishing?
Oh, yeah.
Tony, that might be the one we should do. That movie was fucking weird, man.
Mm-hmm. What's it called?
I'm Thinking of Ending Things.
Okay. I'm not familiar with it at all.
It's another Netflix original.
But what are you doing to me, man?
It's fucking weird. It's the half of the movie I watched, at least. Actually, I'm not going to say that. I watched half.
Toni Collette's in it.
Huh?
Toni Collette's. Sorry, I'm interrupting. Toni Collette's in it.
Okay.
It's fucking weird, Tony.
All right.
And if it ends on anywhere amount of the quality the first half was.
Well, we don't have a movie for next week.
Did you? Have we done Hunt for the Wilder People?
No, and I have not seen it yet either.
It is currently on Netflix also.
Oh, wow. Okay. So I was thinking about this. We had been talking about doing Rise of Skywalker.
Oh, fuck yeah.
For 500.
Yep.
The more I think about it, I think I want to push that off to 501. More for the pun of it, because the 501st is the fan group of cosplayers that do their own stormtrooper armor and stuff.
Yep.
So I just thought it would be fun to have that would be 501. Yeah. So I was trying to think of something interesting to do for 500, and I think maybe Hunt for the Wilder People might be good for 500. I know it's a comedy. I haven't seen it, but it's also episode 500, so there may have the opportunity to have some other people pop in and out of the recording. Mm-hmm. And we know that comedies tend to play better when we have a lot of people to talk about them.
Yeah.
Because they tend to be light on conversation. Now it's Taika, so he may actually give us something to talk about. I don't know.
For a long time.
We did. So yeah, let's plan on that for 500. What did you say this other movie you were just talking about? What's it called? I'm thinking of ending it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's do that next week. Let's call that next week's movie.
Shit. Now I'm going to watch the whole thing.
Well, there you go. So do I, cause I haven't seen it. So
yeah, well, I don't remember. There's enough that I've forgotten in the first half.
Yeah, you'll have to restart it. I'll probably watch it.
How long is it? It's a 15-hour movie?
It's not that long. It's not that long. It's just
I don't even know why we stopped it halfway through.
Tony, it's dense.
I think I get tired. I don't know.
It's detail-oriented.
Hmm.
It's like, you gotta watch things.
Well, I had to watch things when we watched Parasite because I had to read it. So
it's 2 hours and 14 minutes.
Wow. Okay.
It's longish, but yeah. Not like way long.
I remember the night we watched it, I was like falling asleep. I was like, God damn, how long is this fucking movie? It's an exhausting one. You know what? All right.
You're not selling it, David.
I don't need to. We already picked it.
Okay.
Yeah, it's done. It's on the list.
So it is written.
Slam dunk.
So let it be done.
What are we going to do? Come up with another movie? Jesus.
Oh. They don't make them that often, so. Yeah, I can't think of a lot else to say about it. It was, I think Anna hit most of the points that I came back around to after I finish the movie. Like there's some movies that I'll watch them and then I'll sit with them and it's like, oh yeah, like it settles on you and oh, this movie really was really good, and the more you sit with it and kind of replay it in your mind, you start picking it, you start seeing how the layers were there and how they started building on it. Nope. Like The more I go back to it, the more I get disappointed about it. Like I didn't think about the movie a whole lot till we sat down and started talking about it. And then like now I realize why I didn't really put a lot of thought into the movie. Because there just wasn't a lot of good things to think about the movie. Like this movie is really good to think about after yesterday. Because it's something different than yesterday to think about, but
Wow, that's a low goddamn bar.
It, you know, it did surpass that. I would watch it again before going through yesterday again. Now, if I have to watch some of that footage when I watch the treason trials for people, I would be okay with it. But
well, I got bad news.
I know, but
I got a resignation today. That's the best you're gonna get.
What's that?
You got a resignation concession today. That's the best you're gonna get.
Yeah,
2.5 between that
and now all the rats fleeing the ship.
Mm-hmm.
We don't this have Betsy Fossil.
Straw. I can't believe he would do this, even though this was the plan for 4 years.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. I have to eat some crow. My mom, for the last week or two, has just been like, man, I really hope this doesn't happen the way that they say it's going to happen on the 6th. And I kept, oh, it's fine. You know, the Republicans are going to do the vote thing. They're going to jack with that, but it's going to be fine. She said, no. She's like, it's going to get violent. I said, no, it's not. They're not going to do anything. Mom, I was wrong. I was wrong. Then again, she watches a lot more of the news than I do. But yeah, she 100% called that shot.
Wow.
Good times, man.
Yeah.
Good times.
Nothing like living through history.
Yeah. Can't wait till we get back to precedented times.
Mm.
I've had my fill of unprecedented.
Yeah. Well, having a president would help. One that actually acts presidential in any capacity.
I do appreciate him just putting out a video being I do appreciate Biden's video where he's like, come on, man. Come on. Like, you gotta do something. And then you notice Trump's video went up like 15 minutes later.
Yeah.
Like, he just wasn't going to do anything until he got called out.
Well, we watched the video. We watched the video. Like, I watched Biden's video, and then I watched Trump's. And about 20 minutes later, I turned around to Julie, and I said, you know, if you watch Trump's video, you can see that a speech writer gave him a speech. And he said everything in the speech that the speech writer gave him, and then just started riffing in between every other lie.
Mm-hmm. He made his own. In a bad like, way.
I just want to watch the I just want to watch the reaction video of the original speechwriter as he's reading it. It's like, no, that's not what he said. No, why are you adding that? No,
you notice in that video today there was no riffing.
I actually didn't see that one. I didn't see that one. I heard about it, but I didn't see it.
Yeah,
yeah.
No, there is zero riffing.
Yeah,
it is just like it's clipped. There's a couple hard cuts.
Oh.
Like, yeah. No, it's... I am committed now to a peaceful transfer of power. Fuck, man. Someone said something to him that, you might actually get impeached or 25'd. You have to, pull it back. And so it's a 2.5-minute video of...
You know
what? I'm not going to be the president. We'll have a new administration coming in the next couple days. It's my duty now to commit myself to a peaceful transfer of power. Who the fuck is this guy?
Yeah. Well, there was a rumor going around yesterday that the 25 had already been enacted.
And that's why Pence called in the National Guard.
Well, and that's why Pence was the one notified. That's why Pence called in the National Guard. That's like, like they're just going to let Trump save face by letting him go on TV every so often and still have his Twitter account, but he's not actually in charge.
That's fucking wild.
I'm honestly surprised that we haven't seen like this situation, and there's still time because the 25th Amendment, he can come out and say, I am not fit to be president. And immediately turn it all over to Pence. He can do that as part of the 25th Amendment. And it's immediate. It just happens.
Yeah.
If they have it set up that the attorney general immediately files charges against him and he says, I did all of it. And then Pence could immediately pardon him for everything.
Yeah.
And that could literally happen in all of about a half an hour.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Like that that could happen on the 19th. It is possible.
I can imagine him doing that because he does care a lot about saving his, and he has a lot to answer for.
Oh, yeah.
And that is why the House is passing their articles of impeachment. Well, yeah. That's another reason. The second reason is if he actually is found guilty, then he can't run for president again in 2024.
Right.
Which I don't think he'll run anyway.
Yeah, I think we're more likely to see like Ivanka run than him.
Well, so I think what's going to happen over the next 4 years is Hawley and Cruz are going to try and pander to Trump's audience as hard as they can to recapture that magic.
Yeah.
But I mean, Ted Cruz is just, that guy is just like someone's unwanted left nut. Like that guy, he's just a dangler. That guy sucks.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Fucking Hawley's. He's a fucking idiot.
Yes, he is. Yeah, I like that.
He sucks.
I like his tweet earlier today that was so after Simon and Schuster shit canned him for the book contract they had, he's like, "This is a violation of the First Amendment."
Not what that is,
Broham. You obviously don't understand what the First Amendment says. If you say that, like, how can you be an elected official to a federal office and so not get what the First Amendment says? Like, that's just so basic. Is he?
I'm pretty sure. I mean,
he might be. So, I mean, if he is, that means he clearly is just pandering. Yeah, because that's not at all what the First Amendment is.
This guy sucks too. You know who doesn't suck though? Cori fucking Bush. I'm introducing legislation. Everyone who signed on to this needs to be expelled from Congress. Fuck yes.
Yeah.
Fuck yes. You've been in office 3 days. Fuck yeah. Get some shit done. Fuck. The only thing to be proud of from Missouri politics. Cori Bush.
Oh, I'm so glad we've got Tammy Duckworth. Because she was the first one that said, we really need to thank all the Senate aides who grabbed all the paperwork and took it with them. Because it was the Senate aides that were the ones that were responsible for that. And they, like a boss, they did it.
Man, shit was dark. People running around with like zip ties to take hostages. Like, even though it is so wild, people are out downplaying this, like, it is wild, and that's down. It's downplayed to wild what happened yesterday.
Yeah.
Which is just outrageous.
Outrageous is definitely the...
Like, conceptually, it's hard for me to think about. Just like...
That people were breaking through doors and in the... Yeah.
Yeah, like people... The fucking chair Pence was sitting in, like, 45 minutes before, people were taking fucking selfies in. And just fucking walked into it.
And then act like it's, like, not a thing. And, like, you're right. Like, that woman, Elizabeth, who was maced, you know, in the video, and was like, well, I was just a few feet inside. I could barely get in the Capitol building. And they cruelly, you know. And it's like, what the fuck do you think is going to happen when you storm the Capitol building?
Yeah.
Like, you don't get to do that.
By the way, Anna, if you haven't seen it yet, I posted something in the Hangout where I posted the link to this. I posted, it's a Twitter link. Julie passed it on to me just before this. And if I can, I'm going to try and just capture the video and post just the video on Facebook later today. Okay.
Yeah, no, I'll look at it in a minute.
Go ahead and watch it now, because it's all, I'd love to see your reaction, because it's all of about 10 seconds long.
Okay, I will. My phone is, I was trying to actually do something on Chrome, and my phone was being weird about that, so let's see what, it's opening.
See, and if you can, you definitely want to listen to it.
Okay, are they Animaniacs? Okay. Oh, just a minute. Oh, just a minute. I want to make it go to the beginning. Okay. That's good.
I think I watched that on a loop for about 5 minutes straight before you guys signed on. Julie sent that to me. It's just, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the audacity of it, I think is the thing that shocks me the most. The fact that people are just like, yeah, we're doing this. I'm going to talk to any reporter who comes up to me. I'm going to show my face on television. Oh, you're with CNN? Yeah, I'll talk to you and give you my full name and tell you where I'm from and tell, like, what on earth are you thinking? Like, this is the prime time when if you're wearing a mask, people aren't immediately going to assume that you're going to murder them. You know, like you walk into a store with a mask over your face and you're the good guy.
Yeah.
And just the audacity of running around without a mask on, not even for pandemic reasons, but because it puts you at such a high profile on a national stage.
People are going to lose their jobs. It's going to be interesting.
It's already happening.
Oh yeah.
They already are.
Yeah.
I don't know how much of this is true, but I guess they named the guy who was walking out with the podium and like they tracked down where he's from, like the town he lives in. He has 5 kids. His wife is a doctor and she lost her practice already today.
Really?
Yeah.
So like she was kicked out of the practice. She was in practice with other people and she got kicked out.
I don't know. I couldn't get any confirmation on it. I tried to look it up.
I feel bad about that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, depending on what her involvement in all of it was, if, you know.
Yeah, but I mean, she wasn't there.
If she was the one taking the picture.
Yeah. Not true.
I know that's not true because it was a Getty image, but yeah. Some of the funny things that have come out of this, you know, looking for bright spots is the trend going around where there was an article where they named the guy or they said, you know, they've tracked him down and here's his picture --, via Getty.
Uh-huh. I saw those.
People on Twitter were assuming that the dude's name was literally via Getty. Oh,
my kind of name is via.
Yeah. 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 For Julie and I today, it's more a race of, have you seen this news yet or this meme yet? And it's like, there were no winners in this game.
Yeah.
Every time. Oh yeah. I saw that 5 minutes ago. Oh yeah. I saw that already. Yeah. It was just showing off our phones or turning our laptop screens or showing each other. So yeah, we had both already seen everything as it's coming out.
That's fucking wild.
Yeah.
So I have two bosses. I have an Indian boss and a white boss. And, like, my white boss is the worst. But my Indian boss is, like, you know, a minority in this country. So he's just a reasonable dude about stuff.
Hey, Esther. So,
I was like, this whole insurrection is pretty wild, don't you think? And he's like, what are you talking about? I've been on the phone all morning. Ooh, buddy.
What?
Ooh, buddy.
Wow.
That was today?
No, this was yesterday.
Oh, okay.
I'm like, oh, buddy, wow. You're in for a treat. You're in for a treat. This is just how it's going to be from now on.
Yeah, yesterday for us, like, Julie stopped at lunch to go take a shower. And so I'm working. I start seeing stuff on Facebook. I'm like, what the fuck is happening? Then I go over to Twitter. What is happening? And like I avoided turning the news on immediately. And when Julie showers, you know, like afterwards she'll do her makeup and stuff and she'll put the TV on while she's doing that. And she's like, hey, she just sent me to hang out. She's like, hey, do you have the news on right now? I said, no, but I've seen what's going on. This is fucking crazy.
Yeah, so I saw Kara post about the certification votes. And I wanted to watch I wanted to watch all the theatrics around the certification votes. So I turned it on just in time to see McConnell's speech, which McConnell's a piece of dog shit. That dude deeply sucks. And his speech is like, yeah, I mean, it's ridiculous. Now that the obstructionist Democrats, I was like, fucking come on. You're the worst piece of shit on the planet. Then it cut away to, and the protest outside is getting rowdier. Oh, what? Now they're inside. Oh, God. Then the rest of the workday was a little tough to focus on.
Yeah. Yeah. There was a meme that shows like 7 a.m. coffee and the spike going up. And it's like the Capitol building gets breached and just tanks. And that's exactly how it was. Like it was the same level of everything just stopping that 9/11 was. I mean, it was my work life at the time. I was at work. It wasn't as intensely immediately fearful. Like, cause it was like, you, like yesterday, it just felt like, all right, things are going to get back under control. You know, these lunatics will be cordoned off and, you know, this is, yeah, it sucks. It's horrible, but this will end up mostly fine.
Yeah. It's the Capitol building. I just assumed that like in 10 minutes, like the dudes outside would just radio back and be like, okay, yeah, the crowd's gotten real rowdy. Like, get the actual guys out, like the dudes in riot gear with the guns, and get them out here, like, just so we can make this bring go out away.
Bring and out the twisted tea trucks, and let's.
Then there's like a swarm, and those people don't show up, and it's like, this is awkward. Okay, they've breached chambers of like Congress. That it's just like a slow breaking of like the normalcy bias. Like, it was just shattering. It's like, this fucking can't, like, this can't happen. Like, your brain gets stuck on it. It's like, this can't happen. This is some fucking joke.
Right. Yeah. Well, I remember I was listening to a morning show on the morning of September 11th, 2001. And they're like, plane just hit the tower. Somebody's bullshitting. I mean, like, they literally
thought it was, over, like, exaggerated in some way. Yeah.
Well, and like the morning show that I was listening to, they actually treated it like it was a joke. They're like, yeah, that can't be happening. Eh. And then it's like, no, guys, like, this is real. Yeah. This is bad, and this is happening.
Jimmy, stop with the fart noises. Like,
right. Well, and I know, I mean, because there was such an immediate backlash to anyone who said anything negative against America, period, you know, for like 2 months after that,
sure,
they were fired for jokes they made 5 minutes after it happened, because they didn't know. And it was like, yeah, that's awful and horrible, but fuck those guys, get them out of there. You know, I'm like, that was the mentality, and that was just the way it was. It's weird that this is not going to be anything like that. This was not a coming together moment. What happened yesterday was not a coming together moment in the same way. Now, there was a lot of coming together for wrong reasons in September of 2001, but there was a lot of coming together. This is not that.
Oil. As far as the eye can see.
Yep.
Oil and freedom. Caw.
Yeah, I don't know if you guys saw Esther is commenting on Facebook. She said hi, and then she said, yeah, there's no winners in this. She and Jason have been doing the same thing, trying to see who could find the most outrageous and newest stuff with the news articles. Yeah, it's crazy. I fully expect that I'm going to, by the time we leave here and I get downstairs, Julie's going to be like, you missed all this news. That's what you get for jacking around the internet with your friends for 2 hours. I get to scoop you on all this stuff.
Scoop.
I don't have a lot else to say this evening.
Yeah, me neither.
All right, well, keep your heads down. Try not to storm any Capitol buildings.
Do my best.
If you see Josh Hawley, kick him squarely in the nuts.
That guy sucks.
Yep. Yep. By the way, that's a joke.
Yeah, you can probably qualify that.
For the three people that will watch this. Though, then again, you never know. I could say something next week to piss somebody off, and they'll hunt me down.
Slide into your DMs.
Well, yeah. You know, Tony, I'm the CEO of Antifa, so...
You know...
Find some people to protect you.
If somebody does slide into my DMs, that is not the slide in that I was expecting. Though, I mean, actually, probably is, all things considered. Good night, Esther. Thanks for popping in.
Yep.
Bye.
All right. I'll see you guys next week. Anna, if you can join us. If not, we'll see you around.
All right. Well, you have a good night.
Yeah, you too. See ya.